Hey listeners, before we get into the show, just a real quick plug. One thing that you can do that would really help us out is go onto your podcast player, whether it be Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever you have, and give us a review. Even just giving the stars would be great, but if you want to leave more of a comment, we read all of those. We really do appreciate it, and it's a great way to just communicate with us. And if we get a lot of fun ones on there, we'll bring it up on the show. If you want to support us further, you can go to patreon.com/chatofthewild and give a financial donation to us. That is a monthly sort of subscription that gets you ad-free episodes and a bunch of bonus content. If you just go to patreon.com/chatofthewild, it has it all explained there. But that's all. Again, we'd really appreciate it if you go and give us a review. It does a lot to get us out to more people that way, and it's just a really nice feeling to hear from you all. Anyways, let's start the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Milk Bar. How you doing? So far, it's night two, so it's raining. And it's just got like this real peaceful ambiance in here. Although I think the bartender's drunk, but that happens from time to time. Or on milk. Very full of milk. Who else is here with me in the Milk Bar?
I'm over here in the corner, I suppose.
Yeah, come sit over here at the Milk Bar.
Chateau Romani.
Ooh, is that the 85?
I think it's actually a little bit later than that. It's like a
hopefully this week
an 01.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Milk probably doesn't age very well. Maybe Chateau Romani ages pretty well.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, how you doing? Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Ryan Fonzie, one of the co-hosts of A for No, B for Yes, a different Zelda podcast. And we are also doing a series of Tears of the Kingdom right now. It's been a joy since it's come out. And me and my two co-hosts, you'll find us every other week just kind of chatting about our own adventures through the games. But got a moment here to relax and sip on some milk, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quiet in here. It's not as crazy as it is out in. I guess this Milk Bar is in Hyrule, Tears of the Kingdom Hyrule, Sky Rule, if you will. How have you been enjoying the new game? I think everyone, especially people who make Zelda stuff, are just talking about this game a lot. I think everyone's trying to cover it in some way. So, how has it been treating you?
It's been treating me very well. I've been pretty much all over the map at this point. I think the only place I haven't really dug into is the desert. Just about everywhere else,
okay,
though, we've...
A lot of digging.
Yeah, a lot of digging. A lot of underground time.
Yeah.
I feel like the sky time went a lot faster than I thought it would. But
in around there or just in general?
In general. It's a very speckled map, but I think I'm almost done with the sky. There might be like a few treasure maps or something hiding up there somewhere that I haven't found yet, but you know, in terms of the zone I research and bosses and stuff like that, I pretty much cleared it out. So
the I don't find myself hanging out up there a lot.
Right.
Or I have to like remind myself, oh yeah, I didn't do any of the Skylands in this region. I should probably look at those before I sit down and talk about it. Because I'm usually just stuck in a cave or in the depths.
Yeah.
So have you been all over the map? Like, did you have a favorite place in Breath of the Wild and now have a new favorite place that's completely different? In Tears of the Kingdom,
a new favorite place that's now completely different.
I used to love this place in Breath of the Wild, but now this is my new favorite place.
Yeah, I'll say like Breath of the Wild. I used to really love the Faron region in general.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not only did it have gems it was pretty close to Lurelin and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And Easy Dragon.
yeah, Easy Dragon, just riding up and down that river. Mighty Bananas and Hardy Durians, all the things that you'd need. And it was just dense.
All the things that Growing Link needs.
Yeah, it was a very fun place to explore. When I went back, I want to say it's one of the weakest areas in this game, aside from maybe Lurelin Village itself.
Hmm.
Like, the actual waterfall area was not... It wasn't anything new. It didn't feel like... I mean, maybe a cave here or there, but there wasn't anything big that really jumped out at me and created a brand new experience.
Okay. Because I haven't been down there yet. But yeah, I also shared an affinity for that place. What is your, like, favorite place to, like, hang out in now?
My favorite place to hang out? That's a tough one. Yeah. Because there's a lot going on here now. I mean, I think one of my favorite experiences that I've had so far was actually Hateno and all the drama that goes on there in this game.
Yeah. It's like a... It's like a town out of a Fallout game.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, it's just like there's really little drama. There's like not really monsters or anything. It's just you just kind of get to play through a political sitcom, and it's I really enjoyed the side story there. I felt like it was completely useless to the rest of, you know, saving Hyrule, but at the same time, I found it very entertaining, yeah.
Fashion versus farming.
Yeah, because when I first walked in, I'm like, I hate that. Like, I saw the mushrooms and stuff. I'm like, this is the worst. And then after playing for a few, like, you know, a little while getting into the story, I'm like, oh, I was supposed to. Like, I was supposed to hate it at first.
Yeah, when I saw it in one of the trailers, I thought that there was going to be more to it than just, oh, someone's kind of transforming the image of the town. I thought, like, oh, mushrooms are going to be really special in Hateno now. And no, she just kind of like, that's just her aesthetic, you know, that's just her calling card.
In the advertisement, it really seemed like, okay, so like fusion and mushrooms are going to be a big crossover. Like, all the mushrooms not only are going to have their cooking effects, but they're all going to do some wild thing. Whether it's in combat or utility or whatever. No, none of that's... don't even worry about it.
This is the Mushroom Club. We're going to join the Mushroom Fan Club, and no,
it's
none of that.
It's just people like the look of a mushroom, I guess, in this game. Very...
At least she does, which... Yeah, I don't know. It's fine, I guess. It's just... I don't know, just a big mushroom stamped on everything. It's like, whatever.
Yeah, I can't say I've hung out there much since, but it was a fun time.
I guess now that I think about it, I mean, what would you go back for? Just the dye shop? To gather resources, to buy stuff? Oh, the cheese. Ooh.
The cheese. Yeah, once you unlock the cheese, they sell it all over Hyrule, though, so that's...
Yeah.
You know.
But you could go back to see your cheese friend.
Right.
Who makes cheese especially for you and puts lots of love into it. And you can trade her milk and acorns.
It's good to have a special cheese friend.
Yeah, you know, cheese friend. We got to, you know, when you find a cheese friend, you gotta cherish that.
Yeah.
Milk's important, you know. Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah, the other thing, Lookout Landing itself has been developing the entire time I've been playing the game. Mm-hmm. Like, every time you go back after you do, you know, one of the, what do they call them, anomalies?
Is that what they refer to them as?
I think so. Let me check out the log here.
It makes sense.
Phenomena. Regional phenomena.
Phenomena. Do.
Cool. I kind of prefer if they'd call them anomalies, but that's fine.
Phenomalies.
Yeah, there you go. That works. Every time you do one, another group moves in on the orders of the people that you helped. So it just gets more and more diverse as you go.
So I take it that adds diversity to the, like, fighting quests that are out there, the people that are like, the roving guard.
I wish I could confirm or deny that, but I've done so few of those missions.
You can neither?
I can neither, yeah. I've only done one mission, but it was after I had helped the Rito out, and there was not a Rito on the team, so I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, I accidentally, like, stumbled into one of those, and so I didn't, like, I wasn't able to like group everyone together and like head into battle. I just kind of like fell into the gate. And was like, oh, all of a sudden my friends were there. I was like, well, this just kind of sucks, doesn't it? The first one I did was so much fun, though. So I want to do it again. I did it on horseback and just stabbed everything in the face with a spear. It was pretty great.
Yeah, if you can catch the team before you run into the monsters, I think that it helps hype it up before you get to the actual fight.
Yeah.
I could definitely see that being kind of rough if you're just like, oh, there's a lot of enemies over here, and suddenly it's like, yeah, and there's also an army fighting with you that you didn't talk to before this.
Yeah, I'm going to take out this whole camp.
Yeah.
By myself. Oh, I have help, and they're all dead. Now I feel bad. Oh. I feel like I should have prepared.
Right.
So yeah, how many hours are you into this? Like, what is the metric that we... Yeah, I guess hours could belie, you know, what you've done, because like I've only beaten two dungeons, but I've played like 150 hours. I've seen half the map, so it's like a give and take, I guess, with me. But like, what have you gotten into?
According to my Switch, and I don't usually leave it on too much without playing it. Sometimes I'll have it paused, but it reads I've played 130.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've done three dungeons. Three of the phenomena. I would say there's maybe one other major thing in the underground. One or two like big events.
Yeah.
Helped out a few towns, you know. So it's been good.
Gotten the lay of the land.
Yeah, yeah. My underground map's still pretty spotty. I mean, I think I have maybe 3/4 of it done. And like I said, the sky I've been all around. So it feels pretty familiar at this point. It feels pretty well explored. Okay. I mean, listen, I did just talk to Colton and got the mask for the ascetic. Is that what it's called?
Ascetic. The final thing he has?
Yeah, the final thing he has. Here we go. Mystic. Sorry. Yes, I keep, you know, I'm just one. the thesaurus today. I'm sorry. I keep saying the wrong words that are just related or adjacent to what I'm trying to say.
But the big white lion head.
Yeah. So I got the Mystic headpiece. And the dude decided to inform me that there's 101 more bubble frogs out there. And I got real discouraged by that stat.
What was that about? He was like, I don't have anything else to give you, but there's 100 left. And I was like, well, you've conditioned me to get them every time I'm in a cave. And I'm already going to go into caves looking for clothes, so.
Right. I mean, if anything, right. it tells me that there's still a long way to go with this game before I should feel like I really know what's going on. But
yeah, but I was just like, it was disappointing that he's got nothing left.
Yeah. When he said that, I'm like, you can't even just randomly generate some monster parts for me to buy? Like, what?
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
That would be good. There you go. See, you're thinking.
Yeah. I was going to say, but I mean, like, other than that, I've done all the dragon tiers. So aside from the ending of the game and the last phenomena here, I think it's pretty hard to spoil things in this game for me now, which I'm really happy about. I have had a couple things pop out, like on TikTok and stuff like that, where it's just like someone will put up a spoiler warning, but the image is already up, and you're like, all right, so I guess that's in the game. Thanks. But yeah, other than that, you know, it's been a fun ride. I'm just getting to the point where I'm comfortable kind of slowing down a little bit. Like, I really, you know, when I first started, I mean the day it released, I took off work just to play for pretty much my regular work schedule. And I streamed most of that time too. It was really fun. So I just crushed like a ton right up front. And at this point I'm like, I mean, I can go back to streaming some other games every once in a while, you know.
maybe it's okay.
I'm way far ahead of our recording schedule, I will say that. So
yeah. Well, you'll have to go back and like refresh.
Yeah. Yeah, I might have to start a second game pretty soon.
Oh, now that I know what's going on. Yeah. I've thought about it, but there's no way I'm doing that. But like, and only because now that I know with like certain things, what was happening early in the game. I wasn't quite clear on like how everything necessarily worked. And so I'm like, I wonder if I'm missing all sorts of stuff from the first two areas, because I was like, oh, that happens. This happens all the time or something. Like, oh, there's clothes. Maybe I missed clothes in some of like the caves I went into because I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah. Yeah. When I learned that the check mark comes up when you defeat the bubble frog in a cave, which is to imply every cave has one. And also if you defeat the bubble frog, but there's also clothes, you'll still get the check mark, even if you didn't find the clothes. So that became a little bit frustrating. I'm like, there should be two check marks
crushing.
Like, or something.
Crushing blow.
Yeah.
By that point, I saw the shirt, but I got the bubble frog. And yeah, I very, very quickly went over to the group chat and was like, guys, the check mark doesn't mean clothes.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I mean, every time I see somebody dressed up in mushroom clothing out in the wild, though, now I stop and talk to them just in case they have some more Misko, tea to spill for me. But,
what's your go-to outfit right now? Or at least your favorite thing you got on?
Yeah, my go-tos, I'm Breath of the Wild fan over here. So when I'm casually just on the surface, I still rock the Sheikah gear for the most part. Nice. Just makes it way easier to just pick up bugs as you're running, things like that. It's very convenient. I did get all the soldier armor, so combat, that, I mean, if it's a Lynel, right, or something like that, will usually come out. Mm-hmm. And then if I'm actually trying to traverse, if I'm doing the heights, you know, I mean, I use that glide gear like crazy. I got the impact proof on it, so it's that thing is so convenient.
Is that what happens when you find the pants?
Yeah, when you get all three and they're all leveled up twice, you get impact proof. You can just hit the ground full dive. Nothing happens.
Glorious.
You just go right into
the walk. My like one of my favorite things to do in the game is hit the ground. I've noticed every time I jump into Gerudo Town from the shrine, it's kind of like up above. It's enough of a distance where, because sometimes you're skydiving from a high place and you get close enough to the ground and it won't let you dive.
Yeah.
And so it's low enough that I can dive and live through the dive, and I'll just slam into the ground every time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I'll say, like, one of the interesting things about this game so far, I mean, like, there's been a bunch of new outfits to get. Mm-hmm. And at first, I felt really weird about sharing with even my co-host, because we were trying not to spoil too much about the game for each other as we went through it.
Yeah.
But, like, going through treasures in the depths, like how you can get a treasure map and then go down and get whatever, and then realizing that pretty much every abandoned mine that wasn't, like, a... you know, one that actually had steward constructs at it, like every other minor mine, I guess is how you might say that, had a treasure in it. So even if you didn't have the map and you just came across one, it's like, just go get the box. It's probably something
at least
nice.
Do that. Yeah, blow up some ore, but definitely get the box.
Yeah, and then realizing that the entire underground is like just a big nostalgia fest. You just run around and get all of these old outfits from previous games.
They're, for the most part, like, a lot of them are down there.
Right.
I found some new stuff down there. I'm pretty sure I found, like, there's an outfit for that, like, lights up.
Yep. I have that one.
And so I haven't, no one else has brought that up on the show yet. So I'm just like, I'm waiting until someone else says something, or, you know, we'll see what happens. But that one is pretty wild. I haven't, you know, I'm a little bummed at how much crystallized ones are in chest.
Yeah,
down there.
That will get you. I mean, I still don't have full battery yet. So right now it's okay. I know eventually it's going to.
What can we do with them at that point?
My understanding is once your battery's filled out, then you can go back to one of the stewards that works at the like when you go back to the battery.
Yeah.
Construct. I don't even know what he calls himself. That's like a refinery or something, but
will he unrefine it?
Yeah. So if you go back to him, then you can well, he won't unrefine it, sorry. You can spend those crystallized charges on specific Zonai items, so you don't have to use Gashapons anymore. Which is actually really useful if you're like me and you use fans more than anything else.
Yeah, I could use a steady stream of,
I'm straight rocking 100 wings because I don't like how they disappear just in my inventory.
That sucks.
It's just other things that I struggled to keep up with. Like, you know, I have 22 fans now, but that's because I spent a whole lot of charges just to get back up to that.
I was talking to someone for on a milk bar, and we just. The episode we had to re-record, and on the original one though we were discussing, I ran into someone's breakdown of how far away from a thing you can get before the game disappears it.
Oh,
and everything is like it's pretty low distance, except for dragon parts, which are like 20-fold the next highest thing, the distance you can get away from it.
Okay.
Because the dragons are up in the sky, and what if, like, something falls really, 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 really far away? You're going to... I've had a dragon part fall all the way down a chasm.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you get one specific dragon that likes to hang out a little bit higher than the others. That thing could fall very far away.
So, they made it... like the distance on that like ridiculous, and so if you just attach a dragon part, it transfers to the entire vehicle.
Okay.
And so then your vehicles don't disappear. I guess they will explode still, but like you can they'll fall. If they fall away from you, they won't just disappear. You know, you go around the corner to grab something, come back, and oh, you were gone, sorry.
Is that even with like the shards, the new ones,
I think like any dragon part. Okay. I don't know. I guess you can't shoot the shards off. I don't know.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, but you just walk on them and collect those, which is a new thing, which is nice.
Mayhaps. I haven't tested those, but
yeah, they're the ones I tend to use the most of, just because they're more bountiful, I would say, than the other parts.
What do you what's your favorite use for dragon shards?
Honestly, I just make like hammers with them. I mean, I try not to too much because, you know, there's better ways to make hammers, but if I want a hammer so that cool. doubles, I mean, if I, you know, sometimes I'll throw them right on the master sword just as a way to have a little 16 power bump without, you know, feeling like I'm spending something that's really hard to get.
Yeah,
I don't really fuse like all of the I don't know what you call them, ingredients, monster parts. Like I usually just put them on melee weapons. I really don't stick them to too much else. So
yeah. I mean, other than shooting them in someone's face,
I mean the like rocks, stones, what have you. I feel like those. Sometimes I'll chuck those into an elixir and stuff like that. Or every once in a while, I've tried to construct a vehicle that, you know, needs some kind of node for a wheel or something, and I'll try to pull one of those out for that, just because it's like a perfect sphere. But even that's not cool. as effective as I had hoped it would be, so it doesn't happen all the time. Okay. But
yeah, funny how Zonai pots became like ball joints,
right? Yeah.
Those assholes. That was probably on purpose.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I haven't played around too much with. I mean, I tried to do the whole gimbaled flying machine, but I could not. I could not make it work.
I was like, I'll get to it. I'll get to it.
I don't know.
There's so much there that, like, by the time I think maybe it was on Need for Speed Running. I was like, I feel like a Fallout vault dweller. Like I'm gonna be like for 4 months in my own little Faraday cage, or like, you know, just experiencing this game, and then stick my head out of the vault, and it'll just be like, oh, everyone else in the wasteland is crazy, and they're doing all of these insane things. Like, okay, time to watch YouTube now.
Yeah, there's already been some just ridiculous combat sequences. That have hit the short form video content out there, and I'll, you know, some of it does make me feel like I don't know how to play the game. But for the most part, it's not that bad. It's I think part of the reason my at least, you know, somewhat part of the reason my time on this game is so high, because sometimes I'll just chill and build vehicles, just play with Legos, you know, mm-hmm. off in the corner yeah. by myself or whatever to wind down for the night. So it's not
chop down a forest and get some Zonai parts out.
Yeah, it's fun. When I first started the game, you know, we had just come off of Breath of the Wild. So I was, you know, I had gotten to a point in that game where I really didn't need to collect resources anymore because of how far in we were and how long we'd mm-hmm. been playing. And it was hard for me to pick the habit back up because I was just like rushing from objective to objective. And if I saw, you know, a bug or an animal, I was like, I don't really want to hunt right now. I don't really want to collect right now. I just run right past it. And then certain combat situations were just like ridiculous in this game.
I could use some bugs. I could use some darners.
Yeah, I could use a meal or two. Like I feel like I have neglected my responsibilities. That's kind of how it felt.
Yeah, because you get so powerful in Breath of the Wild that like I can just eat this hearty mushroom or hearty fish or Endura potion and just like fill all my hearts back up. And, like you could do that when you're low level, but it won't get you very far. It's a waste.
Yeah.
I just have a bunch of charred meat in my pocket. And I'm only like just now starting to get away from that, like feeling comfortable with like yeah. my number of hearts. Speaking of weapons and a hot tip going out, I've got a news about Garuda weapons. So they greatly increase the power of whatever you stick onto them, whatever you fuse to them.
Okay.
And so like I've been putting silver Lynel horns on it, and like I got my first like 100 plus level weapon. It was like 120. So I at least have something that is fused to one of those that I can just jab into the back of a Lynel and it'll never break.
Interesting.
But I've also been wanting to mess around, because that got me thinking about the bone proficiency outfit that you can wear. I think there's two of them, but one of them is the like Dia de los Muertos glow in the dark outfit.
Right. I know what
you're talking about. And it gives you like attack proficiency with bones.
Is that a set bone? It used to be that Stal enemies wouldn't attack you, or like wouldn't even appear.
That's right. No, I think it does give you a disguise for if I was hoping it was Gibdos, but maybe just Stal enemies. But it also increases your attack with boned weapons. And so I was thinking about taking a Garuda weapon and sticking a strong bone thing on it, and cranking that up, and then jumping on the back of a Lynel while wearing that outfit and just seeing if it melts.
just down some mighty bananas while you're at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Go to town. You know, eat a big old plate of hot bananas.
Lynel will rue the day for sure.
Run in fear. That's my newest thing. I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna mess with that.
All right. Yeah. The strongest I've gotten in terms of weapon, I'm still carrying it because I don't want to use it up.
Right.
But it's a. I mean, I don't know how you guys are with spoiled stuff. I mean, it's a fierce deity sword with a silver Lynel saber horn.
Oh yeah.
So
that, I mean, that was in the last game, or it was DLC, but
yeah, a lot of that or was, Amiibo. Yeah, Amiibo DLC stuff. I was excited to see it come back, especially yeah. since, you know, I mean, that weapon I just described is base 93, so I just...
Wait, that Fierce Deity Sword?
The Fierce Deity Sword is sitting at 38, and the Lionel okay. Horn is 55, so...
I thought I was... You scared me for a second there.
No,
if... Like, how'd you get a Fierce Deity Sword that strong? Because I've gotten one out of an Amiibo drop.
Gotcha. I think the first one... well, the one I got was actually from a Misco mission where... you know, there were a couple of treasure hunters who were looking for one piece of it that was supposed mm-hmm. to be in this cave with a million treasure chests. But once you find that, you also find a note from Misco himself, who's like, "Oh, good job finding this. Now go find these other ones. Ha-ha. Here's where they are. Like, or here's basically
the a real hint. Game."
Yeah, you go get those and come back, and then you get the sword. Right in the same Ooh. Cave. So that was pretty cool. Have you done a lot with the, I mean, I know you mentioned some depths work. How far are you along with, the bargainer statues?
I am about to jump in to the Great Plateau. So I know I'm going to be getting something's going on with them there, but I have enough for, I think I have... two pieces of the Dark Link set and one piece of the set I want, which is the Gloom one.
Because he starts you off with the Dark Link set, right? Isn't that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've got the Gloom shirt, but I don't have the Gloom hat, but I did find Midna's hat.
Gotcha.
So I do have that too.
I believe. Okay. So do you want some quick numbers on that, or how are you feeling about that?
No, it's okay. I'm going to run around there. Well, I'm good.
You're good. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I won't tell you then.
Because I've got tons of pose. I'm ready to go. We just haven't been able to. I've kind of looked into where some of the bargainer statues are, and from what I know, and I'm not allowed to get to them yet.
Okay. So, all right.
So that's why I want to go to Great Plateau and hang out, because I'm pretty sure there's something going on there.
Okay. Okay, the one thing I will tell you then, because I'm not going to tell you numbers, I'm not going to tell you like what you get for finding them, things like that. But mm-hmm. what I will say is that they're also a great resource, and if you find some of those retro weapons, they will also sell you those. So I mean,
yeah,
the one thing for a while I was really afraid. Like I built the house for Link, and I was like, I just need a place to put these weapons so I don't use them on accident. Mm-hmm. Most of them are for sale by the bargainer statues. So,
yeah.
So that was very helpful to know. Definitely let me prioritize a little bit differently.
Like, okay, thanks, buddy. Yeah, because there was there was a way to buy... I guess there wasn't a way to buy Amiibo stuff, but now that they're offering it in the game, they damn well better have a way to buy it. Hey, thanks for joining me. Thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. It was nice talking to you. If the fine people out there want to hear more of your voice, where can they go?
If you want to hear more of my voice, you can look us up at A for No, B for Yes, the Legend of Zelda Game Club podcast. Very similar to Chat of the Wild in terms of naming convention. But
I love the name. I love A for No, B for Yes.
Yeah, if you're looking for me specifically, I stream on Facebook, usually Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I actually did a collaborative session with the guys over at Hello Hyrule just recently. So if you're in their Ocarina of Time season, which is current, that's what's happening right now. I don't know if it'll still be happening when this... you know what? I think they're slated to go the rest of the year on Ocarina. So okay. When this comes out, they'll probably still be doing it. But I helped their tour guide session through the Lost Woods over there. So you can catch me there as well. So quick shout out to those guys.
I would I'm interested in spending a year on Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, I'm sure they're having a blast with it.
Hey everyone, if you would like to support the show, head on over to patreon.com/chatofthewild. And we love you, and keep playing Zelda, and stop drinking milk because the bar is closed and he's kicking us out. So break your bottles and let's go.
All right, sounds good.